I'd like to call this meeting of the House Labor and Commerce Committee to order. Tuesday is Monday, April 1st. It is 3:20 p.m. Before we begin, I'd like to thank my committee aide, Denine Tuck, and also thank Sophia Tenney, our current House Labor and Commerce Secretary, and Taylor Kelly, the LIO moderator. At this time, I want everybody to silence their cell phones or any other devices that they have. Present today are Representative Hannon, Representative Fields, Representative Tallarico, Representative Stutes, Co-Chair Wong, and myself, Co-Chair Ledoux. We have a quorum today to conduct business, and we have several items on the agenda today. Our first item on the agenda is HB 45, extending the Board of Dental Examiners. This is our second hearing on House Bill 45. Public testimony has been held and is closed. Amendments were due Friday, March 29th. No amendments were received by my office. Are there any further questions from the committee? Are there any, is there any committee discussion or comments? Seeing none, what is the will of the committee?
Thank you, Chairwoman Ledoux. I move HB 45, Extend Board of Dental Examiners, version 31-LS0325/A from committee with individual recommendations and attached fiscal note.
Hearing no objection, House Bill 45, Extend Board of Dental Examiners, version 31-LS0325/A, moves from the Labor and Commerce Committee, a brief at ease. Our second item on the agenda today is House Bill 79, Peace Officers/Firefighter Retire Benefits. This is our fourth hearing on this bill. Public testimony has been held and is closed. Amendments were due by noon Thursday. No amendments were received by my office. Any further questions from the committee? Any committee discussion or comments? Representative Hannon.
Thank you, Chairman Ledoux. My question is about the fiscal note and the fiscal note analysis and some of its procedural and...
Okay, well, it looks like we have Mr. Truitt here.
For the record, Ken Truitt, Representative staff for Representative Kopp.
Go ahead.
Thank you. Through the chair. So we have a fiscal note from the Department of Administration that has a total of about $874,000. And at the analysis of the fiscal note on the second page, it says the actuarial analysis fiscal note hasn't been received and it'll be received later. Do we have a deadline or a time frame that we anticipate receiving that?
Through the chair, Representative Hannon, it's typical, I'm told, on retirement bills that the actuarial fiscal note gets produced in the finance committee when it's evident that the bill might actually have a chance of passing. That's when they'll do the actual actuarial study for it.
Okay, so through the chair, this fiscal note only addresses that it'll cost about $74,000 to set up the administration of this plan, and that's the only fiscal note that we're responsible for making sure is attached in this committee.
Through the chair, Representative Hannon, that's correct as I understand it, yes. And Madam Chair, I could add that when I just pulled the fiscal note for the Tier 4 bill back in 2005, and they estimated at that time to stand up Tier 4 a $1.016 million fiscal note for the same stand-up work. So I'm not sure what that means, but my guess is they're a little more efficient at standing this up than they were in 2005.
Well, thank you. Follow-up. I guess that was one of my concerns on this fiscal note, thinking these people are already in our system, right? We're just moving them from a Tier 4 to a newly created, and I'm not sure if we're calling it Tier 5 or new system. And so I was unsure why it was going to take more employees, because these more employees to administer a program, because these employees are already covered in a program. So if you weren't covering them out of Pile A, you're now covering them out of Pile D. Why does it cost us more money, or is it just shifting it?
Representative Kopp.
Thank you, Madam Chair. For the record, Representative Chuck Kopp, District 24, to Representative Hannon. Representative Hannon, I think it's an excellent question. The Finance Committee certainly will push back on the fiscal note and ask the agency questions about what is needed as far as new staff resources, programming, and things like that. There is a pretty rigorous justification process, and I'm sure those questions will come up.
Okay, thank you. But, yeah, I mean, these are all currently employees, so it wasn't going to be new employees we're adding to the system, which is where I was hoping. You know, I'd love to add 3,000 more people to the system, but we're just moving them from one tier to another, and the fact that it seemed like admin was, if you're going to leave and go to another column, now we're going to charge you for that.
So. Representative Wall.
Thank you, Chair Ledoux. I'll take a stab. Again, it'll come out in finance too. So, but I think some of it may be setup costs, software. A lot of this stuff, even whether you're doing 3,000 or 30,000, you still have to do a lot of system reorganization. I know that with different taxes and sales tax and different taxes that get changed, just the software and setup is quite expensive.
Okay. Thank you.
Do I have any further questions from the committee? Are there any committee comments or discussion? Representative Wong.
Thank you, Chairman. Yeah, I'm just happy that we're passing this bill out of this committee. I think it's very important. Hearing the testimony the last week or two was very compelling. And in before and after that, a lot of people have come up to me about different problems they're having in their departments or agencies or wherever they may be. And the concept of defined benefits comes up. Alaska is losing population, and anything we can do to keep people here, keep employees here, whether they're firefighters, police, or otherwise, is a good thing. And I think it's about time we start heading in that direction. It's this bill in particular, which is for firefighters and police, I think is important and urgent. We're losing all kinds of experienced people. As soon as they get a few years in, a lot of them are transferring out. I think it's a public safety issue, and I think it's very important. So I'm happy to be passing this bill out of this committee.
Further comments? Well, then I'll just say that this bill has been a long, long time coming, almost from the time that we went to the defined contributions from the defined benefits program. It's been obvious that there were problems. In fact, some of us realized that there were problems before we made the change. So I'm just glad to see that this bill looks like it is on its way, at least out of Labor and Commerce. So what is the will of the committee?
Thank you, Chairwoman Ledoux. I move HB 79, Peace Officer Firefighter Retire Benefits, version 31-LS0462/U, from committee with individual recommendations and attached fiscal note.
So, hearing no objection, HB 79, Peace Officer/Firefighter Retire Benefits, version 31-LSO462/U, moves from the Labor and Commerce Committee. And so we will have a brief at ease to sign the bill folder. So our last item on today's agenda is confirmation hearings on various governor's appointees. And with respect to the Board of Nursing, committee members asked to hear from the various appointees for the Board of Nursing. And we have available right now the following. There's Danette Schloeder and Julie Tisdale. And Ms. Schloeder is available online. I thought she was available online, but I'm not.
Yes, I am.
Ah, great. Okay.
I have a prepared statement, if that's helpful.
Yes, that would be great. Why don't you introduce yourself for the record and tell us why you want to be on this board.
Okay, so my name is Danette Slater, and for the last 24 and a half years, I've been a registered nurse licensed in the state of Alaska. I'm currently a perinatal clinical specialist at Providence Alaska Medical Center. I'm also a part-time faculty member in an RN to BSN program for the University of Providence. I'm a second-generation Alaskan. My grandparents were the original colonists in the Mapsa Valley, and I currently live in Anchorage, Alaska. I have 4 college degrees, 2 undergraduate degrees in healthcare administration and in nursing, and 2 graduate degrees in nursing. My nursing career has been devoted to caring for women and children. I spent many years as a labor and delivery nurse, then a nurse educator, and now a clinical specialist. My primary role now is to plan the care of high-risk obstetrical patients and improve the care of patients by translating evidence-based practice into care at the bedside. I also participate in generating new nursing knowledge and improving safety of nursing care and patient outcomes in complex medical systems. I've been fortunate to be able to share my knowledge of nursing care throughout the state. I have taught in topics including pre-hospital obstetrical care, electronic fetal monitoring, obstetrical care, and obstetrical care in Seward, Kodiak, Mapsu Valley, Valdez, Kenai Peninsula, Fairbanks, Sitka, and even Utqiagvik. My most significant contributions to the health and safety of Alaskans have been my work on improving the outcomes for women with morbidly adherent placentas, obstetrical mass transfusion, and hemolytic disorders of pregnancy. My current work is in the development of a care pathway for pregnant women with opiate use disorder. All of these topics have allowed me to speak to national organizations. I've been involved in the review of nursing licensure examination and validation of the requirements for entry-level nurses through the RN practice analysis with the National Council for State Boards of Nursing. When asked why I want to serve as a member of the Board of Nursing, the answer is very easy. You will be hard-pressed to find someone who has more passion for the art and science of nursing and the safety of the residents of Alaska. I'm drawn to public service and believe it is an honor to be able to contribute in this way.
Does anyone have any questions for, am I pronouncing it correctly, Slater?
Slater, yes.
Anybody have any questions? Representative Hannon.
Thank you, through the chair. First of all, Danette, thank you so much for your longtime work with women and children. And as you know, delivering babies still remains one of the most dangerous things women do in America. An audit was done of the Board of Nursing in 2018, and it found a couple of areas that the board had lacked to respond to, one of which was keeping up with telemedicine potentials and oversight for Alaskans in rural situations. And I'm wondering if you could give us some thoughts on that. How could we improve the delivery of care via nursing education using telemedicine in rural Alaska?
I've been fortunate to be able to be involved in different aspects of telemedicine through the Providence has an eICU, which has been amazing to watch how both physicians and nurses remotely can manage very complex situations in areas of which patients would have been afforded no other options. I have knowledge of patients who were suffering from cardiac arrest that were being able to be managed remotely and lived to discharge. And I don't think that would have happened. In a state like ours, telemedicine is a necessity. We have to be able to provide care to all Alaskans. And we are very challenged with how that looks in very remote areas. I work with LifeMed Alaska a lot and what they have to go through to be able to get people into healthcare facilities is just mind-boggling. And I believe the technology is available for us to be able to help support those communities remotely. But it does have to be something that is managed and regulated so that it's safe.
Follow-up?
Thank you. I had, through the chair, one other area of question that was brought to my attention from the nursing board audit, and that is that our state nursing board did not have appropriate regulatory notification when a nurse, her ability to do prescription oversight had been pulled by the Board of Nursing, but we were not, the nursing board did not then notify the Board of Pharmacy or the DEA about that nurse or nurse anesthesiologist's inappropriate drug oversight. And I cannot conclude that we've actually developed those regulations, but again, from your career with a practice out there, could you see that as an area where your insight and career could help guide the development of regulations that would be practical and timely to make sure that our nursing board is adequately prepared to address the fact that we may have extended pharmaceutical responsibilities to nurses that when they've now been denied, we need to adequately make sure that other affected notifications are done in a practical manner so that they do not continue to prescribe opiates if they've been denied that in their practice individually?
Yep. Through the chair, Representative Hannon, I believe that the time has come that a lot of these boards work together on these issues. I think that a lot of boards maybe previously have worked in silos, but the medical board, the Board of Pharmacy, all those boards need to work together to protect Alaskans. And if there is someone who is operating outside of their scope of practice, or has been had their privileges withdrawn, there needs to be an absolute way that everyone is informed of that and is enforcing that. And I believe that I have a lot of expertise in that area and could offer a lot of assistance in making sure that that was never an issue again.
Thank you.
Representative Field.
Thank you, Ms. Schlater. Would you say that the Board of Nursing's work could impact the delivery of reproductive health care services?
Could you repeat the question?
Do you think, is it your understanding or your belief that this board to which you've been appointed can impact the delivery of reproductive health care services?
Through the chair, I think that nursing probably has a small role in reproductive, I don't want to say a small role. So nurse practitioners, certified nurse midwives are highly involved in women's reproductive health. There are some areas that are really outside of the scope of practice of nursing that probably would not come to the board, but for certified nurse midwives and nurse practitioners, that they do women's reproductive health.
Okay, follow-up and thinking more about the board's role as opposed to, the care provider's role, what would you see as the Board of Nursing's role in reproductive health care? Do you see opportunities there to influence the delivery of reproductive health care?
I don't know if I really have an answer for that of only being on the board for a month, but I think that any issue that's brought above or to the Board of Nursing would have to be looked at as how it affected the scope of practice of nursing, and that it's very important to keep the practice of nursing separate from the practice of medicine.
Okay, so.
I'm sorry.
So through the chair, follow up. My understanding is your view is the board's role is limited to issues of scope of practice more than, say, regulating or restricting the delivery of reproductive health care. Is that an accurate understanding?
Through the chair, I believe that is an accurate, that, you know, we work within what the scope of nursing and nursing practice is. I know that the board does do regulations, but those are related to the practice of nursing.
Okay, thank you.
Do we have any further questions for Ms. Schlater? All right. No further questions. I'm going to open this up for public testimony. Is there anyone either in the room or online who would like to testify about this appointee? Seeing and hearing none, I am going to now close public testimony. Any further questions from the committee? Any committee comments or discussion? Well, in that case, ladies. So the next person who is a candidate for the Board of Nursing is Julie Tisdale. And Julie, please introduce yourself for the record and tell us why you want to be on this board.
Sure. This is Julie Tisdale calling from Anchorage, and I've got a short statement if that's okay to read.
That would be just fine, Julie.
Okay. My name is Julie Tisdale. I was born and raised in Alaska. I graduated from Diamond High School in 87. I also graduated from the University of Alaska Anchorage in 92 with a bachelor's degree in business administration, majoring in accounting. I've tried to be active in my community by volunteering on my homeowners association, animal control. I've served as treasurer on various campaigns. I'm currently a treasurer for a nonprofit organization. And I just believe it's really important to be involved in my community. Reason I'd like to serve on this board as a public member is I've had family members and friends in hospitals over the years, either in the ER, intensive care, surgery, and I've just always been so impressed and just so appreciated the nurses. I've had just wonderful experiences with nurses in this town. They've always been very calm, positive, just great attitudes, and I just admire them for what they do in their job. It seems like it could be a very stressful job. And I would like to be someone on the board who listens to concerns the nurses have, whether it be training, education, regulations. I really look forward to serving, and that's all I have.
Do we have any questions for Ms. Tisdale? Representative Fields?
Thank you, through the chair. Ms. Tisdale, do you have professional experience in nursing or women's health?
No, I do not.
Follow-up? Ms. Tisdale, through the chair, it looks like you sought two boards and commissions appointments, the Bar Association and the Nursing Board. I see you have accounting background. Why was the Bar Association your first choice?
I have friends who are attorneys, and I'm just interested in law. It's just something that had always interested me. I don't have any experience in law. These were just two boards that areas where I have interest in hearing more about.
Okay. Ms. Tisdale, what is your view on abortion rights, and how do you see your personal views on abortion rights either aligning or not aligning with the Alaska Constitution and case law?
I would say that I'm pro-life.
Okay, and could you explain what that means in your view and the relationship of that position to the Alaska Constitution?
Well, I know that abortion is legal, and I respect that. My personal view on abortion is I'm pro-life, but I believe women have the right to have an abortion because it is a legal procedure. I guess that's my answer. Not, yeah.
Follow up.
Go ahead.
Do you have concerns with health impacts of abortion on women, either physical or you could say psychological?
I'm sorry, repeat the question again.
Do you have concerns about the health or psychological impacts that abortion could have on women?
Do I have concerns? Well, yes, sure, I do. I mean, if a woman has an abortion, I would, you know, be concerned that that woman would have some issues with that, whether it be physical or mental. So, sure.
Okay.
I think anybody would.
Follow on. Do you think that the Board of Nursing could play a role in informing women about what you see as those risks?
Oh, as far as the Board of Nursing?
Mm-hmm.
I don't see that as the scope of the Board of Nursing's, as part of being on the board of the Board of Nursing, as far as abortion.
Ah.
To me, we're focusing on policy, and this sounds like more political. So I don't see where this would really be a scope of the board.
Okay.
So you the practice of the board.
You would not anticipate in your role on the board having any influence on the delivery of reproductive health services then?
No.
Okay. Thank you.
Sure.
Do we have any further questions for Julie? All right, so I will now open public testimony on Julie Tisdale. Is there anybody either online or in this room who would like to testify? Seeing or hearing no one, I will now close public testimony. Do we have any further questions from the committee? Yes, Representative Hannon.
Thank you, through the chair. Thank you, Ms. Tisdale. It was taking me a minute. The Board of Nursing had a legislative audit done that was published a little over a year ago and referenced three recommendations that the board, that the auditor found deficits and asked that the Board of Nursing address. And one is that when an inadequate time frame for responding to investigations about potential licensures being pulled from both CNAs and LPNs, and that sometimes that it took between 61 days to 3.5 years for cases to be resolved. And since you have a background in sort of business and finance, what could you bring to make sure that our Board of Nursing, if they were investigating somebody that potentially they're investigating them because the thought had been that their licensure should be revoked from actions or practice, that we did not wait 3.5 years to take that kind of directive action or corrective action. Can you give us any? Go ahead.
Oh, sure. I'm sorry. I did not mean to interrupt you.
No, I was just rambling.
We had a board meeting last week, and one of the responsibilities of the actual nurses on the board is they would receive an email as far as a case that would come about, and they would give their recommendations to it, and that would come before the board, and sometimes we would have teleconferences. So in those instances where it is about pulling a license, the board would be notified and deal with it more timely, and absolutely deal with it, and if not then, absolutely deal with it at the next board meeting. Because we get a listing of licenses that have been pulled or licenses where there's problems, you know, where they need to pull that license. So we would be notified of it. I'm surprised that it would take, you know, over a year to get that resolved.
Follow up
on the other recommendation from the audit that drew my attention was that there are 22 CNA training programs in the state of Alaska, and the Board of Nursing has the on-site training program reviews and has not, the auditor found the Board of Nursing had not adequately done on-site review. This is a time of budget constraints and travel budgets being reduced, and how would you make sure that adequate oversight of 22 different academic training programs across the state are met by a board of nursing that may not have the opportunity to go visit them in person, but needs to have on-site overviews?
Right. So I know there was a lady that spoke at our board meeting who had gone to a different site, the training facility. And so I guess, are you asking that the board would travel to review those, or it would be the director who would come report to us about those training facilities?
Your insight into that, either way.
Well, my insight is I would not think that the board would go I would not think that the board would travel to these training facilities outside of Anchorage or any remote place. So that would be something a state employee would do and then report back to us. I mean, that's what we had at the last board meeting, and we were informed of a couple training facilities as far as their testing results. So I hope I answered the question. I I'm not real familiar, you know, since I am the public member. Not real familiar with all the training facilities, but I would not encourage, you know, unnecessary travel by any board member to these training facilities. I would, you know, I would want to listen to, you know, the director who is responsible for that and what their input was from that, from reviewing the facilities.
Okay. Thank you.
Sorry, my neighbor's dog is barking. I apologize.
Representative Wong.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Ms. Hisdale, you're serving on the board now, you mentioned. Is the board mostly composed of new members?
It is. It's all new members.
Follow up. Are you concerned about the lack of experience that's currently on the board and that having so many new members, they may need guidance from experienced members?
No. Actually, I apologize, but our chair is not. He has been on the board for a year, so I apologize. Our chair does have previous experience on the board, but the rest of us are new. I'm definitely not worried about that because the board that we have now, we really worked well together, and the nurses on there are very educated and just great nurses, and we've, you know, worked together and talked together, and if we have questions, none of us are afraid to speak up. I think we all bring in, you know, our own perspective and own experience, whether it be business or, you know, nursing industry. So I'm not worried about that.
Follow up.
Thank you. Do you have any idea why there's all new members on a board? That's kind of unusual around here.
You know what? I don't. When I was first received the letter, I remember going online and seeing, oh, there are, you know, that is a good thing to have, you know, board members who have different terms on the board. And then I think I had gone online again and realized, oh, there's new names on there and that were all new. So I had just only seen that probably about a month and a half ago.
Follow up.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Well, we in this committee last year, we hear a lot from different boards and commissions people, and one of the things they do is background checks and licensure revocation. In the world of nursing, you know, we ask what in different boards what would constitute the need for a revocation. Would you feel that if a nurse got a DUI, just an average sort of nondescript DUI, would that be grounds for revocation of a license?
That possibly, I mean, depending on the result of the DUI, if there was some sort of accident, so possibly, yes, that could be revocation of a license.
Follow up. Is there a nursing shortage in Alaska, and do you think things are being done to counter that?
I do feel there is a small nursing shortage in the state of Alaska, and I've heard really good things about UAA and their nursing program. That's as much as I know as far as you know, what the state of Alaska is doing for that. But I do believe there is a nursing shortage.
Representative Fields?
Follow up on that question, Madam Chairwoman. Ms. Tisdale, just following up on that point, what's your view of the new APU UA partnership?
I'm sorry,
With respect to training of nurses?
I'm not familiar with that, but I can look into it and get back to you. The APU.
APU and University of Alaska.
As far as their program, I'm not familiar with their program, so that's something I'd have to get back to you on.
Okay. Thank you.
Representative Wall.
Thank you, Chair LaDue. With the nurses on your board right now, do any of them have experience in psychiatric nursing?
I do not know. I'd have to get back to you on that one also.
Follow up.
Go ahead.
Do you think that should be a requirement? At least one nurse on the board has psychiatric nursing experience, seeing as all the problems we're having in the state with behavioral health and API and those kind of issues, and the fact the API can't seem to hire any psychiatric nurses. Do you think that would be a reasonable requirement for someone on the board of nursing?
I think it would be helpful to have somebody on the board who has that experience. I don't think a necessary requirement, because I feel nurses deal with all sorts of medical issues, whether it be medical, mental. They seem to have deal a lot with a variety of different medical issues. So I'm sure some of them have that experience. I guess I'm just presuming that.
Did you have a follow-up?
Yeah, I guess I would just say that psychiatric nursing is a sub-discipline in itself, and although many nurses have experience with patients that may have mental issues, as you say, or non-physical issues, the previous interviewee had a lot of experience in maternity nursing, but I didn't see anything with psychiatric nursing, which is typically a sort of non-medical setting. So that should be looked at as far as a board issue.
Actually, wouldn't that be something for the legislature to consider making that a requirement if we feel that that is important? Representative Fields.
Follow up along the same lines. Ms. Tisdale, I'm just looking at this report, highlight the same report that my colleague mentioned about adequate monitoring of CNA programs. We've been discussing the shortage of nurses. In your opinion, in general, would it also be helpful to have a Board of Nursing nominee who had some workforce development experience training nurses, training CNAs, related occupations?
So I guess you're asking if I feel like there should be nurses on the board who have experience training other nurses? Is that your question?
Or nurses or someone, you know, say who has some experience with workforce development in the medical profession and nursing or related occupations. Not necessarily a nurse, but it could be a nurse.
I'm sorry. Can you kind of repeat the question?
I was just curious, do you think it would be useful, given the nursing shortage, given this audit report's finding of inadequate monitoring of CNA training programs, do you think it would be valuable to have a nursing board member who has some experience with workforce development in the field of nursing or closely related occupations?
I think it would be helpful.
Thank you.
So I guess I'm just sort of wondering right now whether we could keep this focused on Ms. Tisdale's qualifications to be a member of this board, and if we think that there are requirements that we should consider about, you know, making this a requirement or that a requirement or something else a requirement, maybe we could consider those in another, you know, as a bill as opposed to Ms. Tisdale's qualifications. Representative Stutz.
Thank you, Madam Co-Chair. I'm looking at this and I'm listening to the conversations and I'm thinking to myself, this is more of a comment rather than a question, that I understand this is a nursing board, but I also understand this is the public seat for that nursing board, and I think it gives it a little diversity, and you're not, so I just want to tell you that I really appreciate your applying for this and taking your time, because I think it's really important to have a diverse group of members as board members. I think it widens the scope and helps people think outside the box. So I just want to say thank you to you.
Oh, thank you very much.
Representative Hannon.
Thank you. Through the chair. So right now, the Board of Nursing is to sunset in June of this year, and there's a bill to extend the Board of Nursing. And it strikes me as the public member that you are potentially in a position to advocate for the continuation. I'd like to know whether you've thought about that and whether you at the Board of Nursing talked about the potential for the Board of Nursing sunsetting and whether you think it's a vital regulatory board that should continue in statute.
There was some small discussion on it. I absolutely do think it is an important board. Now that I, you know, I was able to meet, said that we were all able to meet, I do absolutely think it's an important board and should continue.
Follow up?
And through the chair, will you be able to advocate for the passage of the bill that continues the Board of Nursing? Do you feel like that's within the realm of your role as a public member's ability to do?
I'm not sure if that's something that I should do as a board member. I mean, it's because we've already met, and I see what an important board is, that yes, I would be willing to do that, but it's, you know, I would be willing to advocate to have that board. But I'm not sure if that's appropriate as a board member. That's my answer.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. Any further questions? Well, thank you very much. I've known you for a long time, Julie, and thank you.
Oh, yes.
Thank you for applying for this position, and I know you've been grilled pretty hard, but I think you did well in answering those questions, so... So, having completed our comments, if there are no further questions or comments from the committee, Representative Wall.
Thank you, Madam Chair. House Labor and Commerce Committee has reviewed the qualifications of the governor's appointees and recommends that the following names be forwarded to joint session for consideration: Danette Schlater and Julie Tisdale. This does not reflect intent by any of the members to vote for or against these individuals during any further sessions for the purposes of confirmation.
So the following names of the governor's appointees will be forwarded. Board of Nursing, Danette Schlater and Julie Tisdale will be forwarded to the joint session. And then we have one last item of the day, is to move out some of the other governor's appointees. When the committee members were asked which appointees they wanted to hear from, the following appointees were not requested by members of the committee. We will move out the following appointees from House Labor and Commerce: Alaska State Board of Public Accountancy, Karen Smith and Wes Tegeller; Board of Barbers and Hairdressers, Jessica Steele; Board of Dental Examiners, Brittany Jacques, Jesse Ronkin, Kelly Lucas, David Nielsen, Jonathan Wohler; Alaska Labor Relations Agency, Paula Harrison, Dennis Moan; Board of Marital and Family Therapy, Noah Shields. And so, Representative Wall.
Thank you, Madam Chair. The House Labor and Commerce Committee has reviewed the qualifications of the governor's appointees and recommends that the names read by Chairwoman Ledoux be forwarded to joint session for consideration. This does not reflect intent by any of the members to vote for or against these individuals during any further sessions for the purposes of confirmation.
So the names listed will be forwarded to the joint session. After we adjourn, please stay behind and sign the confirmation committee reports. Our next meeting will be Wednesday, April, at ease. Mm-hmm. back on. Our next meeting will be Wednesday, April 3rd at 3:15. We intend to hear HB 91, NeuroPass Licensing and Practice, HB 102, Rental Vehicle by Private Owner, and we will continue consideration of the Governor's appointees to boards and commissions. It is now 3:409, and we stand adjourned.